Hello out there, my friends. This is Tim Binall of BinallofAmerica.com with another edition of Binall of America Audio Season 1. It is December 17th, 2005. Our guest is Alfred Weber, and it's not just any interview. It is a co-production with Alfred Weber's internet audio show and podcast, Peace on Earth Radio. That's right. It's a veritable simulcast. Coming at you from BinallofAmerica.com and Exopolitics.com. We join forces for a very special edition of Binall of America Audio, where I'm reunited with Alfred Weber, whom I met at the X Conference in Washington, D.C. this past April. We really hit it off back there in Washington last spring, so when I heard that he was attached to this Paul Hellyer story that was making the rounds in ufology and the worldwide mainstream press, I was just totally blown away, and I got on the horn right away and got in touch with Alfred Weber. And when I spoke with Alfred Weber, he said, let's bring this conversation to not only the Binall of America audio listeners, but also the listeners to Peace on Earth Radio at exopolitics.com. And I was like, how do you pass up an opportunity like that? I'm totally psyched to be a part of this amazing simulcast, and I really can't say much more than that. We taped this interview on December 11th, 2005. You can find a previous interview I conducted with Alfred Weber at the X Conference in April at binallofamerica.com. You can get a lot of background on Alfred Weber there. But here's a little bio of him for you, so you are up to speed on who Alfred Weber is. Alfred Weber was a Fulbright scholar and holds degrees from Yale University, Yale Law School, and the University of Texas Counseling Program. He has taught economics at Yale University and civil liberties at the University of Texas, and has been a futurist at Stanford Research Institute. He has been general counsel to the New York City Environmental Protection Administration, environmental consultant to the Ford Foundation, and member of the Governor's Emergency Task Force on Earthquake Preparedness for the state of California. Weber produced and hosted The Instant of Cooperation, the first live radio broadcast between the USA and Soviet Union. He's the author of the book Exopolitics, and his website is www.exopolitics.com, and that's spelled EXOPOLITICS.com. Without any further ado, let's rock and roll here on this historic simulcast, a Binall of America Audio and Peace on Earth Radio production.
This is Peace on Earth Radio. I'm Alfred Lammermont Weber, and today we have a co-production with Binall of America at binallofamerica.com and Tim Binall. We're privileged to have him as our host, and we'll turn the production over to him. Tim?
Hi, how you doing, Alfred?
Oh, great. You know, the last time you and I spoke, we had a great interview. It was at the Exopolitics Conference in Washington, D.C. in April. I think it was April 22nd to 25th of 2005. And we were seated together at the dinner around a large round table. There were maybe 20 or so tables. We had a great conversation, so I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, that was really a great time, and I think we really got a chance to get to know each other and become friends. So when I saw the Paul Hellyer story going around this past couple weeks, I saw your name on there. I was like, way to go, Alfred. I was so excited for you to be a part of this amazing news story.
Well, yeah. Also, it's really a team. In other words, the Honorable Paul Hellyer, we've been working with him since 2001. He was the first major Canadian politician to endorse the Space Preservation Treaty to ban all weapons in space. This was back in 2001. And then we, together with Toronto Exopolitics Symposium with Victor Vigiani and Mike Bird, that gave him the platform, that gave the Honorable Paul Hellyer, the former Minister of Defense of Canada, the platform to speak out on September 25th, 2005, and then with the Disclosure Project under Dr. Stephen Greer, www.disclosureproject.org, and also with Steve Bassett, there's a tremendous amount of teamwork, also with with Paula Harris out of Rome, Italy. We've just been carrying that to this point.
That's great. So how did you get involved with Paul Hellyer from the get-go? How did he come to you guys about coming forward with some UFO movement towards UFO disclosure, or did you guys approach him?
Well, I think it's a complex story, and I know that we have some time here, so I'd like to unfold it a bit as I understand it. Originally, my nonprofit educational organization called the Institute for Cooperation in Space, our two missions are one to prevent the weaponization of space and to promote the transformation of the permanent war economy into a sustainable, peaceful, cooperative space-age society. And also, a second aim of our organization is to promote cooperation amongst life forms in the universe. Well, through a mutual acquaintance, we first met the Honorable Paul Hellyer, who was Minister of Defense of Canada from 1963 to 67, and then Deputy Prime Minister under Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau. We met him through a mutual friend here in Vancouver. He was the at that time the leader of the Canadian Action Party, and we met with him and with the present president of the Canadian Action Party, and had a very full meeting. And at that time, he came on board and endorsed the Space Preservation Treaty, which we had co-developed, a whole group of people as co-architects, with Representative Dennis Kucinich, who's a Democrat of Ohio, who introduced the Space Preservation Act to ban all space-based weapons into the U.S. Congress in October of 2001. So it was sort of from that genesis that we began our interaction with him. And then when my book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe, which was originally published, I put it out as a free online book in the year 2000, kind of to get to see the whole field and the concepts of exopolitics. Mm-hmm. Well, this year, a number of people approached us and about getting it, moving it from the online status into a print status. So we said, oh sure, let's do that. And in the spring of 2005, in the January, February, we approached Mr. Hellyer because he had been a senior advisor to ISIS, and we had spoken at his CUSP conference in Toronto at the Toronto Metropolitan Convention Center, along with Dennis Kucinich, in December of 2002. And so we approached Paul Hellyer and asked him if he wouldn't review the book Exopolitics, which had launched this entire field, and write an introduction to it. And he said, yes, send it to me, to my office. So I did. We sent it to his office, and he read and he wrote the most wonderful review and introduction, which he ended up then would be part of the landmark speech that he made at the University of Toronto. Well, after the text version of the book version of Exopolitics came out, where it was premiered at the Exopolitics conference where you and I were,
yeah,
in Washington in April, at that time, we gave a copy to Mike Bird. And Mike was the, or I think Mike, either we gave it to him, or I think Mike bought his own copy, but then Mike took it back to Toronto, and he and Victor Vigiani were at that point putting together the Toronto Exopolitics Symposium.
Yeah.
And they asked me whether or not I wanted to be there, but it turned out that on the exact same day, Sunday, September 25th, 2005, was the Nexus Conference in Brisbane, Australia, where I'd been invited to go there and also to lecture throughout Australia on exopolitics. So we decided, along with Mike and Victor, from a strategic point of view, that it was very good for me to go over to Australia.
Yeah.
And to announce it at that time and to bring exopolitics to Australia, but that we would link up the two venues. So then, as Mike and Victor has long experience in Canadian politics and is in the Ontario-Toronto area where the Honorable Paul Hellyer is, so I think what would happen, as I understand it, talking to Victor and Mike, is that then they got the concept of approaching Paul Hellyer to make a major statement at the Convocation Hall of the University of Toronto, which is the largest, one of the largest auditoriums in Toronto. Paul Hellyer, you have to understand, has been on the cover of Time magazine. He was the youngest serving member of the Canadian Parliament. He was first elected at the age of 25. And then he was just, you know, he's like a phenom.
Yeah.
And so then Victor and, as I understand it, Paul Hellyer began conversations. And at that point, some other friends of ours had just coincidentally, over the past several years, sent to Paul Hellyer a copy of Colonel Corso's book, The Day After Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
This was co-written by William F. Burns, who's the editor of UFO magazine and also the editor of Filament Books, and they published the online version of my book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. Well, to make a long story short, a friend of mine had two or three years ago had sent a copy of The Day After Roswell to Paul Hellyer. In the midst of all of this, he began, what he states in his speech is that he began reading it and putting two and two together, and because of his work as a supporter of the Space Preservation Treaty, the ban on space weapons, and then verified it with contacts of his, because Canada is a full partner with the United States in NORAD, which is the North American Air Defense, which is in charge of monitoring all UFO and extraterrestrial traffic over North America. And so he put two and two together and called his contacts in the States, which is Minister of Defense. He was in charge of NORAD for Canada. So he called his contacts, and they say, every word in Colonel Corso's book is true and more, i.e., not only did the U.S., through kind of that the Henry Kissinger, Nelson Rockefeller, David Rockefeller connection, privatize all of that technology and put it in the corporation so they make profits out of it through the Rockefeller Empire, but now the U.S. is spending $85 billion a year for space-based weapons. Well, we're in almost 2006. For 2010, this is by congressional record budget figures, they have $600 billion that are planned for space-based weapons in 2010, which is only 4 years away. So what the general told him is that, yes, some portion of this, and it could be all of it, the U.S. Space Command is planning to deploy space-based weapons, including directed energy weapons and laser weapons, a kind of Buck Rogers technology, for warfare and hostile intent against ethical off-planet cultures that have shown no sign of being hostile. So Mr. Hellyer is one of the outstanding statespersons and politicians and Minister of Defense, like the Secretary of Defense of the United States. He was in charge of the defense of Canada.
Yeah.
Well, if the Americans are going to start a war with extraterrestrial society, Canada is the second largest landmass on the planet after the Russian Federation, which is 11 time zones. So we are at the landmass between Russia and the U.S., and we go all the way up to the polar ice cap. So he chose that occasion at Toronto Exopolitics to come forth. Now, I'm just going to conclude with this, since you asked me this capsule summary, but I want to give listeners a concept of how this has impacted in, for example, the journalistic world. Our non-governmental organizations, Toronto Exopolitics Disclosure Project and the Institute for Cooperation in Space, put out a story because this became an election issue here, and the conservatives, who are like the Bush Party up here in Canada, they indicated that they would be putting back on the table U.S. missile defense, which Canada had already said no to.
Yes.
So we issued a story, and we had an official counter, and at last count, that story, which says, former Minister of Defense of Canada calls for public hearings on extraterrestrials, that story has been read and downloaded at last count by over 577,000 journalists, registered journalists worldwide. That's over 500,000 journalists. And it's been officially downloaded and registered by 250,000 media organizations worldwide.
Wow.
That's 250,000 media organizations. So there's a tremendous amount of interest in this story, and it's moving forward as an election issue as we speak here. There's a national, there's a federal election going on in Canada. The election is going to be on January 23rd. 2006, but it's like the midterm elections in the States. It's slightly different because of our parliamentary system. But so what has happened, you're quite right, Tim, is that this whole issue has now moved into the mainstream.
Wow. Yeah, it sure sounds that way. Now, from what I gather from what you just said, it sounds like Hellyer's getting information not just from the book The Day After Roswell, but he's going above and beyond that and try and confirm some of that with people he knows on the inside?
Yes. His speech is available online, and if you go to www.exopolitics.com, there'll be a sidebar there that's called the 2006 Peace on Earth platform, and you can click on that, and the Jerry Pippin organization, jerrypippin.com, has put together a magnificent web page with a video of his speech. Now, what's really interesting, because I think it's important to fill in all the nooks and crannies, is that apparently the people who were hired that day in Toronto to do the videotape, and all of a sudden, for some reason, it didn't work, and the videotape disappeared or didn't work. Well, there was a gentleman in the audience who was living in Canada. He's from one of the West African nations, I think, and he was sitting in the audience, and he videotaped the entire speech from his seat in the balcony. It's a magnificent copy. It's like a miracle.
Oh, wow.
And Mike Bird was telling me, and Victor, that afterward, they had set up and had hired this video team, and suddenly it wasn't there, and, the usual kind of, the quote, usual suspects that happens in our field.
Right? Yeah.
Well, this fellow from West Africa was in the audience, And he videotaped it, and he got in touch with Mike and Victor, and there's a magnificent tape. I mean, it's like historic, which if you go to exopolitics.com or to jerrypippin.com, you will find, because we're trying to network all of this media, and we really appreciate your being open to do a co-production today so we can cross-network and get all of the information out and kind of exponentialize our resources and synergize. But that's kind of, just to give you some of the backstory, that's how we have that. And what Mr. Hellyer said in that speech, which is an historical document, is that he had verified this with contacts of his in the United States. Now, since then, there's a tremendous amount of briefing and other materials that are going on. I know that the Disclosure Project, which, as you know, has initially 20, then 100, and now 400 high-level military intelligence and governmental witnesses at the Institute for Cooperation in Space. My co-director, Dr. Carol Rosin, was a Disclosure Project witness. She testified at the Disclosure Project press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on May 9, 2001. I was a Disclosure Project witness. I filed, in fact, the only sworn affidavit of my testimony, which had to do with the proposed 1977 Carter White House extraterrestrial communication study, of which I was the director in my capacity as a futurist at the Center for the Study of Social Policy at Stanford Research Institute. Daniel Sheehan, who is our ISIS general counsel, he's a counsel. He was in the Pentagon Papers trial, and he represented Karen Silkwood. He was also a Disclosure Project witness. So that a lot of the briefings and of the witnesses and of the briefing documents, et cetera, are now becoming part of it. And there's a whole series of preparations now which are being made, which are being put into effect to bring some of the major, not only Disclosure Project witnesses that have come forth, but perhaps also high-ranking military intelligence personnel of the United States Armed Forces to come in and brief not only Minister Hellyer, which totally backs up his stories, but also to come in and begin to brief the Prime Minister of Canada and the leaders of the four major parties here. There's a Liberal Party here. There's a Conservative, the kind of the Republican Democrat.
Yeah.
Then there's the New Democratic Party, and then there's the Parti Québécois. They're the Bloc Québécois. They're like the Quebec Separatist Party.
Yeah.
So they're all going to get briefings. So it's like a doorway has opened, and all of the resources that are down in the USA, all of these military intelligence people that have been banging on the doors of Congress, banging on the doors of the White House, banging on the doors of the media, are now finding an opening here in Canada.
That's fantastic. What's been the reaction up in Canada from the politicians and the authorities when this Hellyer story came out the last couple of weeks? Have they said anything about it?
Well, yes. This is what they call a breaking political story. And the context is that we are now, unlike U.S. politics, where you have a presidential campaign that's 2 years long.
Yeah.
That is, in fact, some people start running 4 years along, but they're at least, you know, they're 2 years long, and then you have the primaries, and then in that final 12 months, it really gets intense. So you have a kind of permanent campaigning going. So American style of politics, some people say that it's bread and circuses, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
But here in Canada, by law, the electoral campaign is limited to 30 days, 30 calendar days.
Wow.
So, any citizen can go down and put down their $10 and, run and run for parliament. And what's really interesting is that in the 2004 election, one of the politicians who ran members of parliament as an independent, he ran out of here in B.C., and he turned out to cast the deciding vote that kept the government in power when we had, for the first time in Canadian history, the Speaker of the House of Commons had to intervene and cast a deciding vote and a tie vote. That politician ran as an independent. So here you go out, you put up your filing fee and you can run because you only got 30 days. So as we speak right now, we're in a 30-day campaign. Officially, there's going to be a break for the Christmas holidays. You know, nobody really wanted a campaign here at Christmas, but the Bush people up here in Canada, the Conservative Party pushed for it. It was really interesting, right, because they're kind of born-again Christians, but yet they're pushing for elections during Christmas.
Yeah.
Sort of weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, in these 30 days right now, it's really intense. It's like you can imagine all the action that you have packed over 2 years in the state. We got it packed here into 30-day periods. You got to really hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And it's like a relay team. It's like the 100-yard dash. So we're doing that. We're reaching out to all of the campaigns, but primarily we're looking at the post-January 23rd period at which we're going to be making available through the Disclosure Project and combined efforts of the Institute for Cooperation in Space and Exopolitics Toronto. We'll be approaching both the new Prime Minister and leaders, and as well we'll be going back to the Canadian Senate. The Canadian Senate is a little different from down in the States. In the States, it's elected every 6 years, as you know. Here, the Senate is appointed. It's a little bit like the House of Lords in Britain, because our head of state is the Queen of England, or the monarch of England. Right now, it's Queen Elizabeth II. And we have a Governor General here who's a representative of the Queen, who's very interesting. So how far out Canada is, the new Governor General here was actually a refugee from Haiti. So things are pretty far out here and compared to the U.S. And the Canadian Senate, because it's appointed, tends to be wise people. So they were able to deal successfully with issues like controversial issues like same-sex marriage, which they first studied and said, hey, if people want to make that kind of commitment, it's fine by us. So now same-sex marriage is legal in Canada. Also, the decriminalization of medical marijuana, such that, which the Canadian Senate first did, such that when the snap election was called, one of the bills that died in the Canadian House of Commons was a bill to decriminalize possession of small amounts of pot. And you know that there are guys down in a penitentiary in Texas that are doing 10 to 20 years because somebody found a roach in their van. So that is like, that's the cocaine gang, the Bush-Cheney cocaine gang, you know, going after the kind of organic growers.
Yeah.
The hemp people. So the Canadian Senate is a body that can deal with these kind of situations. They do not have a New World Order agenda.
That's good.
Which the Bush administration has, going back to Skull and Bones, better known as the Order of Death, which is a Nazi party. They finance Adolf Hitler. They finance the Bolsheviks. Avril Harriman of Skull and Bones actually exported U.S. dollar plates and whole factories to the Bolsheviks, so that they were able to manage communism versus capitalism to get the whole Cold War going. All this is documented in Chris Milliken's books, and they're the people that have been privatizing the whole extraterrestrial technology and contact for their own private profit. Well, we're going to be going back to the Canadian Senate in January after the election. So everything is going forward here on a regular basis, and also now, we have been able to develop and refine what we call the exopolitics platform. In other words, if we were going to look at an exopolitics platform that all of the competent jurisdictions or governments that are deal with these issues, starting with, you know, the closest thing that we have to kind of a, you know, take me to your leader, planetary authority,
yeah,
that would be the UN And then nations like China, Russia, that are spacefaring nations, United States, spacefaring nation, and Canada. If we look at what the UN General Assembly has done, in 1978, there was an actual resolution approved by the UN General Assembly. There are 191 member nations now. Whatever member nations were then, it was approved. And what that resolution provides, in fact, I'll quote for it. This is United Nations General Assembly Decision 33/46, 1978, approved 18 December 1978. So we're coming up to almost the 28th anniversary of it. Provides, quote, "The General Assembly invites interested member states to take appropriate steps to coordinate on a national level scientific research and investigation into extraterrestrial life," quote end of quote, "including unidentified flying objects, and to inform the Secretary General of the observations, research, and evaluation of such activities." Well, if we look at what elements would there be in a platform that we would want either the UN or Canada or the U.S. or any other nation to adopt, we've been able to isolate four. That there may be others. And it's funny, they're the four D's.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say that's the four D's, right?
Yeah, and that is disclosure, decade of contact, disarmament, and diplomacy. And by disclosure, that means official disclosure about an extraterrestrial presence around Earth. And that's something that the Disclosure Project has been seeking, that many, many people if you take the 2002 Roper poll, depending on how you ask the question, between 45% and 85% of respondents, in other words, the population of North America, of the United States, they were congruent with an extraterrestrial presence. They were cool with it. Did not conflict with their religion. They wouldn't freak out about it.
Yeah.
They figured that the government was, you know, hiding it. These are things that everybody knows. And by disclosure, then, would mean an open, transparent, official governmental disclosure and declassification of all past and present programs related to the extraterrestrial presence.